Why did Seymour Stein go on holiday to Germany?
I don't know, why did Seymour Stein go on holiday to Germany?
Because he wanted to see more Steins.
It's very good.
That's a German joke.
You've got your Walkman on.
I'm on recording.
Sorry, I'm looking at your emails. Yeah.
I've only got three.
Yeah, they're not very interesting, are
they? No. This guy, Jay Mappin, I keep thinking it's from Mappin.
Who is he?
I don't know. He's the most extraordinary character I have ever met. Something to do with Camelot Castle.
What?
Many of you ask us why it is that we allow artists to stay for free at Camelot Castle and sponsor so many artists to achieve their dreams. This story, while in a different sphere of activity, comes very close to capturing the spirit of what we are trying to achieve at Camelot Castle, and maybe why many people find it so very special here. We hope you enjoy it, and that we see you and your friends again very soon at Camelot.
On earth is it?
And then it's from John, Irina and Ted.
But what happens if you follow the web link to camelotcastle.com?
I'm trying it now. Oh, it's a hotel.
A hotel called Camelot Castle that artists can stay in?
Yeah, for free. Artists stay for free. Seemingly only if you make really bad paintings.
Is that a mural of some kingfishers?
Yeah.
Magic is another option at Camelot Castle, apparently.
Any artist who feels that their creativity or inspiration would benefit from staying at Camelot Castle is eligible to apply for their Artist in Residence programme.
How much do you get? Do you get paid?
No, seemingly not. But you get as much soap as you want. Well, there is a technical reason why it is vital to help art and artists. The wavelength of aesthetics and beauty happens to be that wavelength that most closely approximates the human spirit in native state.
Wow.
Many people have experienced what happens to them when they encounter beauty, be it in a visual, music, or purely sexual, no, conceptual form. Aesthetics have the ability to raise and help the spirit, and in fact acts as a disintegrator wave, causing less desirable elements in life to vanish. There is a direct symbiotic relationship between the artist in the society and the society itself. Our very survival is in fact directly linked to the amount of beauty being produced at any one time across our world. There's then a graph that shows the relationship between production of beauty and societies.
That's amazing. What a place Camelot Castle is.
That's www.camelotcastle.com. I don't have any other interesting emails.
I wondered if you could describe our... I think I'm going to get you to describe where we are each time we do a podcast.
Okay, I'll get better at it each time. We are in a room. In front of us are some tools hung on the wall. They are our tools. They are our power tools.
Owl's tools.
Owl's tools. We are in our studio at Margaret Street in Birmingham, which is the base of operations for the art course at Birmingham City University, not Birmingham City Football Club. On the walls we have some lab pictures and various bits of, well, remnants of what we've been doing in the last month, really, and some curled up printouts of buildings attached to the wall. Phil set the lighting at a low level to make it more conducive.
It's easier to do audio recording if people can't see you that well.
Yeah, you can do better podding when you've got lower lighting.
It's like shelling peas. It's podding.
Shelling peas. I like he could be a Victorian poet. This is in lieu of the lost podcast we tried to make in Frankfurt when we were severely hungover from the night before, not from that morning. I think it's grown in our minds as one of the best podcasts we've done out of the two that we've done. It's probably up there with the first one, not quite as good, but it's good, you know. I'd definitely put it second on the list of ones we've done so far.
Put on your Dinosaur Junior t-shirt, baby, cause it's 1994.
So, Frankfurt.
Did you have a nice time in Frankfurt?
Yeah, I did, I enjoyed it. I think with hindsight, I've enjoyed it even more.
Well, I think that's always the way. I have a general policy of trying not to really enjoy things while they're happening, safe in the knowledge that I'll be able to tell someone about it afterwards, and that'll be...
I think we perfected that in Italy last year, didn't we? Where exclusively for 4 days, yourself, me, Tom and Simon just moaned about everything. But all agreed once we got back, we had a great time. But yeah, no, I think it was good.
It's a sorry truth.
I think what's nice as well is we've fully stepped away from the hangover now as well.
Yeah, that's true. I was quite interested in recording our hangover as a kind of mood piece.
I think it did work.
Yeah. It did work, and it didn't work by
not recording.
Not being recorded.
Yeah.
You could say we made some new friends in Frankfurt.
Yeah, definitely. I think we spread arms across Europe. We arrived in the afternoon on the Wednesday. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
And then had a look at the exhibition, and then had dinner, and then were introduced to the other artists and the local apple wine, which...
Yeah, we were a bit too introduced to that.
Yeah. A friend of ours, Dave Carboni, he described it as being like... tasting like woodpecker cider the morning after, and that's quite an accurate description. It's like woodpecker without any of the fizz.
Yeah, it was interesting. Everyone was convinced that nothing was happening while they were drinking it.
Yeah.
And they went a bit like when you're a young teenager and you is literally going back to drinking cider, which is always what you drink when you're a young teenager.
Maybe that's the problem. Cider's just a drink like that. It's like a kind of the ninja of the drinks world. It just kind of creeps up and then like stabs you in the neck and the stomach secretly.
Special forces.
Throughout the night.
Yeah, and everyone was saying nothing was happening while they were drinking the cider, and then everybody was hungover the next day.
Mm.
But the key feature for me of the artist dinner at the Frankfurter Kunstverein was the game that we all played in an amazing show of artists being willing to join in and have fun. And despite being one of the first people that the rules were explained to, I'm a bit unsure what they were now.
One thing I remembered was I felt almost like saying when we were playing the game, this is like Blitz Spirit, but I realised that wasn't the most appropriate thing to say. The game, as I remember it, it involves both of your hands, which you place on the table.
That's good, because you really are. You jockeyed up your position there to be squared onto the table, and you've now placed both your hands on the table.
Pretty much everything in life is like reading a map for me, where I have to turn the map in the direction of which I'm going. You put your two hands on the table, and then you could sit in a circle as we were. And so you have both of your hands on the table, and then the person to either side of you puts their hands in between yours. So
to the other side of your hand.
Yeah, so that your left hand is on the table, then the person to the left of you has their right hand to the right of your left hand.
It's about the person on the other side of you.
The person on the other side then has their...
So your right hand.
So my right hand, then the person on the right of you has their left hand to the left of your right hand. So as you look at your hands, there's two hands in between your hands. And one of them is the person to your left, one of them is the person to your right, and then they do the same thing. And then what you have to do is, either in a clockwise or anti-clockwise direction, in the order the hands are laid on the table, you have to bang the table. That's me doing it very gently. So if we're going in an anti-clockwise direction, whoever was to the left of me would have done their thing. Then I do my left hand, the person to left of me would do their right hand, the person to the right of me would do their left hand, then I would do my right hand, and the person to the right of me would do their right hand, and it would carry on round like that. No, then, well, you'd understand once it was all in order. But then there's two special moves, aren't there? Two special moves. The first one is potato hand, where you make a fist and hit the table with the fist rather than slapping the table. And what that does is the next person in line to slap the table misses their go, and the person after them has to go. And then you can also do a double tap instead of a single slap of the table, and that makes it change direction from the direction it was going in. And then if you hesitate or act too early, then you lose that hand that hesitated or acted too early.
You lose your hand.
Yeah.
So that was the guys from Factotum that taught us that game.
Stephen and Richard.
And did an amazing job of getting everyone to join in.
Really did.
I because they I think Richard told me about it, and I just sort of said, oh yeah, that's a game, yeah, some people could play that. And I never for a minute thought that mere minutes later we'd be in the midst of an international round.
But they ably demonstrated that pretty much everyone could join in. Apart from one little guy. I don't hate anybody, but I did take a very instant disliking to him, particularly due to his ruining, he did ruin the game for a little while.
He completely spoiled it.
Just from a sheer lack of, I wouldn't even say he was disinterested in the game, he was very interested in himself, really.
Yeah, completely. Because interestingly, all his paintings in the exhibition were of himself as well.
Yeah. And the following day when he introduced his work at the press conference, he said, in my town, I am a superstar, a local superstar. When famous people come to my town, it is them who want to be photographed with me, not me with them.
Yeah, it's interesting how always in a group of artists, it's... Sit still. Always in a group of artists that you meet while you're doing an exhibition overseas, it's the one who says they're a local superstar where they live who is the most annoying.
Yeah, for sure. You remember the man whose biscuits we hid.
What excellent act of retribution in Lithuania. We had a great group of people that we were in an exhibition with, and then the next day somebody turned up from Amsterdam who was a local celebrity where they lived.
He wasn't even from Amsterdam.
Oh no, he wasn't, was he? Sorry, from Holland.
He was from a small town on the opposite side to Amsterdam.
After a night out we were so annoyed with him that after he went to bed we hid his biscuits.
Seeing as he'd given the biscuits to us as a present, we'll hide these and we'll never get to eat them. But he won't be able to take the satisfaction of people having eaten the biscuits he's brought. That showed him.
So but, the guy,
oh yeah, what was
the guy who spoiled the hands game? Yeah, how did he spoil the game?
He said, maybe it would be easier for me to become a lesbian than to learn the rules of this game. That was one thing he said. He also said, this game, maybe instead we all have group sex.
Yeah, I didn't like him saying that.
I think he wanted to demonstrate, I think because in his country, he's the equivalent of Ian Heslop on, Have I Got News For You?
Oh,
he's
yeah.
the sort of equivalent.
He
and he's like, he's like that, but more like edgy, he's like a punk, he's
the
like
anti,
a rebel.
An anti-Ian Heslop.
Yeah.
Did he reference Ian Heslop? Is that what he... said
I
he
think
would like.
That was how Stephen and Richard explained it to me when I was a bit drunk.
I understand. I thought it was interesting. When I first saw his paintings before I'd met him, I wondered why he'd done a portrait of a sort of potato-faced man.
I realised who it was that I thought it was in the painting. The dwarf in Labyrinth. Painted the dwarf guy from Labyrinth.
The main guy.
What's his name? I think it's Huggle. I thought it was him with Iggy Pop.
Mr. Poggle.
Yeah.
That's his surname.
Yeah, I thought it was him. If it had been him with David Bowie, I'd have been Tony in Labyrinth Painting.
Yeah. There was a painting of himself next to...
Iggy Pop.
Next to Iggy Pop.
But using his real name.
Yeah, because... Yeah.
Ignatius Pop.
Yeah, I wondered why there was such an odd Mr. Potato Head man. But then that's really what his head looked like.
It was, uncannily accurate when she finally met him. He had a real Euro haircut as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe you could describe it. It was like a helmet, wasn't it?
I can't describe it.
His hairstyle was cut such that it kind of framed his ears, which probably leads us neatly to one of my other super good things that happened in Frankfurt, which was meeting the artist Jonas Olsen. He was a nice guy. He's a bear of a man, I think would be not wrong to say, with dreadlocks. So he looks a bit like a World's Strongest Man contender with dreadlocks.
But like one that's gone to pasture for a few years, maybe.
Well, I used to lift the stones, but now I just, you know, I get stoned. And first thing he said to me upon meeting him was, "Man, you have the biggest ears I've ever seen." Which,
an international greeting.
Which made me feel pretty downhearted. But to get, I think, as some attempt to prove that I didn't have the biggest ears in the world.
It was possible for somebody to see.
I said, "Well, my granddad's are bigger. My dad's aren't as big as my granddad's, but they're bigger than mine. And so, think about it, genetically, if we keep getting smaller ears, we'll have normal sized ears in a few hundred years' time." But he said, "No, you should be proud of those ears. You should show them off."
Yeah, you could, because you've got quite long, straight hair.
I have.
But I'd like to see that modelled in a way that would show off your ears a little bit more.
Yeah, which leads us to Oolong's haircut, in which he had.
Yeah, I wouldn't go down that route necessarily.
No, but he'd almost embraced that principle. He had long strands at the front, in front of his ears, then it was all trimmed above his ears, then it went into a kind of mullet situation at the back.
Yeah, it did. I think if you had that with the same length of hair, it would be quite a serious live role play haircut.
It would totally. I would look like I was wearing a sort of helmet.
A bodkin? Yeah. No. What is the hat equivalent of a bodkin called?
Headkin? I don't know. I'll have to look that up.
We've turned what am I thinking of?
Sorry. I thought a bodkin was what you had thread on. Is that a bobbin?
A bobbin? A bodkin? A
jerkin?
Yeah, I think it's a medieval garment.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm thinking of those hats with the sideboard protectors in.
Yeah. I don't know what they are. They're almost like a flying helmet, but so I think those were the two most extreme encounters in Frankfurt, weren't they?
Are there any other notable Frankfurt moments?
I think
you must to mention.
One thing we both enjoyed was trying to do the English versions of German words in such a way that they sounded. So I think my favourite example of yours was Albert One Mug. If you want to put that into a Google Translator, it'll come out as Albert Einstein.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is definitely worth pursuing. What else? Stephen Playcastle is a
Stephen Spielberg.
I think that's quite well known on Stephen Spielberg. I thought that the artist Hundert Wasser might
Dogwater. Yeah, that'd be good.
These are all interesting names.
We can't go down the TV nostalgia route.
No.
We did that when we did it in Frankfurt, didn't we?
Did we?
We talked momentarily about the flumps or something. Which is shit.
The flumps is shit?
Yeah, I watched it. I bought the DVD the other day.
That really doesn't surprise me.
Put it on, and it's the slowest moving pile of cack. It honestly is terrible.
Goodness.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at this.
It's a secret. I don't know. It's like a children's version of Alan Bennett, but without any of the pathos or humour.
It's like a children's version of Alan Bennett.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bad scene. No, it was depressing, it was rubbish.
Well, you should definitely not watch Pogglewood then.
No. I've realised that, my enthusiasm for children's TV is now disappearing as I've earned the money to be able to buy the DVDs of them.
What about Trapdoor though? How does that bear up?
Trapdoor actually holds up really well in comparison to the flumps.
Who narrated Trapdoor?
Willie Rushton.
He's got a good voice.
Yeah, no, I started whistling The Great Escape or The Dam Busters. I don't know which one it is. I would say I whistled it, I did it very quietly in my head and thought that would be my solution if he did try.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. I think it did just bring in all of these like movies that's like Where Eagles Dare, Where Eagles Dare 2, Dare Harder. It brought all of those back to me. And
but what were you sort of protecting yourself against something by whistling the?
I thought if I needed to, and it turned out they weren't taking us to Frankfurt, they were taking us to a remote castle in a sort of snowy mountain area of Germany. If I whistled that, it would raise the spirit in the British people on board, and we would be able to triumph. I then realised I was being very prejudiced and should change my views. It's why I think, I kept saying I was nervous about going to Frankfurt.
Yeah.
I realised that was probably why I was nervous. But once I was there and it just turned out like they were fine, it was all fine.
Oh my goodness. So, Ben, with some personal opinions there.
I don't hold those views anymore. And didn't at the time. I think it was just a slight fear of going abroad after having been, not abroad, but in London for a few days. So, was there anything else we needed to mention about Frankfurt?
I did want to ask you, for some reason, how you felt during the game of hand table slapping.
Yeah.
And if that caused any issues for you.
How I felt.
If you felt good, if you had any...
I enjoyed the game. I think I played it with a real spirit of fairness, whereas other people didn't.
Ah, okay. So you felt that maybe some other people...
Yeah. And I'm not saying it was the German people, but, you know, I played with a real spirit of fairness and tried to encourage my fellows either side of me. I was sat next to Oolong, who made no effort to play the game or whatsoever.
Yeah, no, that could understandably be annoying.
But I think some people, they were there with an agenda.
Right. They were bringing more than just themselves to the game of table hand slapping.
They were trying to bring themselves much, I think really put themselves in the game. Like I can't remember his name, but the guy, he just kept sending it back and forth between his own hands for a bit too long.
Yeah.
And did it repeatedly.
Yeah.
It was like a Christmas novelty song sung too many times, I think. It just.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. One of the few times I've watched the World Cup, and there was a game and a player from, I can't remember what country, let's say Brazil, and he was cornered by two defenders, and to get through between the two of them, he did a weird kind of kangaroo hop thing, right, where he sort of caught the ball up between his kind of bowed legs and jumped between them, which was fine kind of as a one-off kind of thing. But then I saw another game with the same team, and he did it again.
Right.
And it sort of went a bit wrong too, and it was, you know, it was like his thing, but it...
It's a bit annoying. It's like when you watch, say, a funny comedy moment on a TV programme. Could be Muck the Week, could be 8 out of 10 Cats, any of those.
Any of those specific programmes.
Choice ones. Never mind the Buzzcocks even, I suppose.
Yeah, that's going downhill, isn't it?
You see a comedian and he does a bit and you think, oh, that's quite that's a really witty, spontaneous reaction to this general piece of news, and then you see like a live stand-up bit of them and it's just part of their act.
Yeah, that is disappointing.
Understandable. But it then makes you think maybe that's what they're like all the time.
Yeah.
You go out for dinner maybe with them and that's all they do.
Trying out lines.
And imagine just like five of them sat together, each of them slowly working through their routine.
Oh, that'd be awful. That would be like a hideous game of chess or something.
Just Frankie Boyle or repeatedly.
It's a war of attrition.
How did you feel during that game?
I felt fine. Actually, I slightly felt, because I was one of the earlier people that had been brought into the game and had the rules explained to me, I thought, and possibly too much so, that I was almost a kind of co-instigator of the game, despite the fact that it's very... Right.
I mean, sorry. It did seem like that you were one of the core members.
Yeah, But I remember even thinking at the time, like, this is very firmly Richard and Stephen's game, particularly Richard's game. He had a number of strategies and was very much in charge.
He was very competitive.
He was.
He did the misdirection tactic.
That was incredible, wasn't it? Where he looked the opposite way to the way that...
Or he would look in the direction he thought it was going to go and then double tap and send it the other way.
Yeah, that's it, yeah, misdirection. That was amazing to see.
Surprisingly, he hardly won, though. He didn't win very often.
No, maybe he...
They seemed quite biased towards the more attractive girls as well. They seemed to stay in for longer.
Okay. So maybe that's what are you suggesting?
I don't know that people prefer attractive people in the game rather than...
I think that's probably true, isn't it, in the world in general. But no, I felt slightly like, and even at the time I knew I was doing it, but I couldn't stop myself somehow, I felt slightly like a sort of younger kid who'd got to hang out with maybe a couple of older kids for a little while, but had slightly taken on a little bit too much bravado from that, and was kind of egging them on in a way that would quite quickly become embarrassing for them.
Yeah, it's funny, as soon as you get into those situations, I always feel a bit like being back at school, because I felt myself drifting into my attitude of like, hey, I'm not competitive, I'm pretty cool and laid back about this game.
Yeah.
It's fine for me to lose, you know.
Yeah.
You go ahead. Again, that's probably why the attractive girls got to stay in the game.
Could well be. I was one of the, because you were a co-winner, weren't you? There was the last two people in were the winners, which was kind of nice, it was kind of interesting.
It was good.
And I was one of the co-winners,
I'd
like to say, at one point.
Yeah, you did well. I never made it to the winning position.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the game, though.
It was an amazing game. I can't imagine ever being in a situation again. Like, imagine that in... I could not imagine that happening at Summer Hill in Grisdale, the residence where all the artists used to stay. And obviously Grisdale is our favourite organisation, probably.
It is.
But there's always an interesting dynamic
here. Computer Training Program Club, do you like that one?
I do like them. They're my second favourite organisation. But Grisdale are our first favourite. They had...
RAC at number three.
For this week. They had an enormous old bed and breakfast in the Lake District. They're based in the Lake District and they had a big house.
Just imagining this massive bed and a little plate of sausages next to it. Sorry.
That's just silly. Stop it.
Okay. I'm not fiddling with Phil. I'm fiddling with my pen and various objects on the desk. Go ahead.
And so you'd arrive to stay at the bed and breakfast to do a project with Grisdale, and it was normally kind of the late evening when we used to arrive, and it would be a real lottery of a different motley collection of artists sitting around the kitchen table who were by various degrees less friendly than the next.
Yeah, but there would always be one little shining light, like...
Yeah, there'd be a fun one normally.
You'd maybe see them across the room and you'd see the sort of desire in their eyes just to get a bit drunk and manage to get, you know, find a way of getting to sleep that evening, normally through drinking, that was the way. And it would normally get quite, can you say divisive? It would sort of, there'd be a little bit of a split, wouldn't there, between there'd be the sensible people who would maybe move to one room and the...
They weren't even sensible people per se, I'd say. It's kind of the bitter people that were out almost out to get you, it felt like.
And they were always like there was a problem and they were having to deal with it, and
yeah,
it was like,
that was just the thing.
You know, if you were like a serious artist like them, I said serious again, but if you were wrestling with the kind of problems they were wrestling with, then you wouldn't be like messing around, you wouldn't be having a drink and a conversation with people that you barely know. You'd be sitting there with your fluorescent light out on the table.
sitting in the middle of the kitchen table where everyone is.
Telling every, like, inviting nobody to share the massive quantity of sausages that you've cooked.
Yeah, flipping right.
That's quite a specific example, Steve.
Steve. empathy. We met a lot of lovely artists at Grosdale.
Andrew Dodds springs to mind.
Yeah, Andrew Dodds is a wonderful fellow.
Marcus Coates.
Bedway, of course, we know.
Bedway Williams, marvellous.
Marcus Coates is the kind of artist that I like to think, if ever I'm in an art, minor art crisis situation, sometimes like to think, what would Marcus Coates do?
Yeah. If you're at any other time, what would Nathaniel Mellors do?
What would Nathaniel Mellors do, I think, at most kind of junctures or crossroads in my life?
Yeah.
You know.
It's a good question to ask yourself.
Genuinely, I'm not even joking.
If you don't know Nathaniel Mellors, Google him. You'll learn some stuff about him.
Or Giant Bum.
Giant Bum.
Giant Bum.
Yeah, don't put Big Bum in. That'll get you something else. Who else have we met there? There's been loads of people there. Barnaby Hoskins.
Barnaby Hoskins.
A legend.
He's a classic guy.
Karen Guthrie, Nina Pope.
Of course.
Lovely. That wasn't a person, right? I think they are genuinely very nice people. Tim Alden?
No, I want to talk about the people we don't like.
Oh, okay.
We didn't like. We don't have to name them.
One of them that... Well, it's not that I don't like her, but I think because we felt like we defended her, I don't like her now. But she sent us an email saying, please, can I have my mini disc back, please?
I think that's psychologically revealing, the syntax of that email.
The double please. Bookending it with the please. Please, can I have a sandwich, please?
That's a sentence you said. Yeah. I feel.
I've said that many times.
A real deep connection to that sentence.
It's true, though. Thank you for the sandwich. Thank you. There's something wrong about doing bookending it like that. The bookender. But yeah, Steve Hollingsworth. I can say it.
Okay.
I don't know this. Well, I barely knew him, but the. He made us feel most unwelcome in a house that wasn't even his own.
Yeah.
I'm sure he had problems with the electricity and stuff, but, you know, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, but you could never have a game like hand slapping the table there, I wouldn't have thought. Even with probably the nice people, I don't know.
I think we generally had quite positive experience. The worst things seem to have happened in stories that we've been told, don't they? Like the most extreme sort of things that have happened there, we've been told about in stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Damon Packard was quite an experience when we met him.
Yeah, that was interesting. He stole our Coca-Cola, didn't he?
He did steal our Coca-Cola. 2 litres of Coca-Cola, just gone. I don't think he even stole it, did he? He didn't like take it away, he just drank it.
No, as I remember, I looked around and the unopened 2 litre bottle had been... So whisked away.
Yeah.
He toddled up to his room with it.
But I think he polished it off quite quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Because he was back with it.
Do you mean that's... If you can drink it quickly, it's not stealing.
Them are the rules, aren't they? But then he was knocking back 2 pints of milk. Imagine 2 litres of Coke, 2 litres of milk.
That's like a war.
I mean, I know there's quite a lot of room in that really. Yeah. God. I mean, the burps alone are going to be disgusting. Oh. But you can kind of forgive him those things.
You can.
No, Grosdale was good. Grosdale is good. We like Grosdale. We like Banks on the Hill there. I think they're the same thing as we said about having miserable times in places.
Yeah, having a miserable time is almost better. You get a lot more anecdote mileage out of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Not that we had a miserable time there. Ever really,
there was elements of miserableism to most of our stays there.
Yeah, there were. Do you remember when I had to stay with Meg?
Oh, yeah.
So we were going up for an event that I think Summerhill must have been oversubscribed of people to.
There wasn't any double rooms left.
Oh, that's it. And Joe was coming up with me. So we were put up with a woman called Meg, who was one of the board members, she had a kind of cottage nearby with a slate plaque. The first thing we saw was a slate plaque on the door that said the powers of darkness.
Wow, and then the rules.
Yeah, we were shown into the guest quarters, which seemed to be kind of set up almost as a semi B&B. She said that it's for when relations came to stay, but there was a long list of rules on the
wall. Like, if that's how she treats her relations, you know, I think they had to pay her.
Yeah, I mean, we had to pay her. Yeah, a long list of rules relating to when and when you couldn't open the bathroom window, and things like that. And
oh yeah, if you leave the lights on, you will be. She was going to charge you, wasn't she? She'd fight you.
Maybe.
Fight you if you leave the lights
she'd
on.
Necromancy.
But yeah, she was quite. There was dark powers at work in that place. I think.
It was frightening.
Dancing naked in a studio, covered in tattoos of fornicating animals. We added those bits in. But yeah, she was fun. Yeah, it was always good at Grey's.
To ask you, we've got our computers here, one each set up on our desks, and I've got my Google sort of homepage. And I think, as you know, it's got stored which things we've looked up. If you put in the first letter, you get the little list of the different things you've looked up, and I think that mine are probably more sensible and work related.
Well, I think mine would be quite sensible too. If I could get my laptop to work, there'd be all sorts, but I have mainly searched for work-related things, I think, on this computer.
Mainly. Okay. Well, I'm going to...
There are girls' names in there, so, but that's just by the by. But yeah, so Google top trumps.
Yeah, I'm going... Well, we'll take it in turns to pick a letter.
Okay.
And is the winner the person that is the most sensible in a sort of twist of... It's a kind of authoritarian.
That rule's changed. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No. The person that's got the least work-related thing per letter.
Loser.
Yeah, it's the loser.
Okay. Let's do it then. What letter are you picking first?
W. I've simply got.
I've lost. Go on. What have you got?
I've simply got Water Court 7 Water Street copyright.
That's insane. That's not sensible.
That's. Wiki and windmill.
Well, that could be anything. You could be planning a holiday on the Norfolk Broads in a windmill.
What are yours? Well,
okay.
Let's have the highlights.
All right, I've got a lot.
You've got a lot.
Wallpaper, that's fine.
Warhammer.
I think Warhammer loses straight away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fantasy, gaming. Waterhall, that's work related.
Wrestling.
Can see
and then, is that an interest, wrestling? Particular interest of yours?
Big on wrestling.
And next to Wycliffe.
Wycliffe. I don't even know why Wycliffe's on there. I lost it out of months.
Two different spellings of Wycliffe. Lost it, but only a few months ago.
No, I lost it a few years ago. I think I only realised I lost it, or fully accepted that I'd lost that CD a few months ago.
Where did you lose it?
I think I lost it at a party in like Shoreditch.
Does that fly? Is it taking a Wycliffe for a CD to
it? It was very ironic between June and July of 2006.
Pick a letter.
Okay, I'm going to go for solid, reliable S. Look at that. That's work. Science.
Well, yeah. Science. The first one is... So you've got.
Science animal. Yeah.
Science owl.
Science symbol.
Shaking hands.
I haven't been to many meetings. I needed some diagrams for what you do when you get there. So I learned quite a lot from that. Shield book. That was more like to. After
that was for identification purposes.
After seeing the freak of nature insect on the front steps of this very building we're in now.
Skull mug is actually, I happen to know, is work related.
Skull mug is, yeah, definitely. Squid wrestling, that goes arm in arm with the wrestling from the other one.
Squid wrestling?
Yeah. It's fun.
Is that something you have an interest in?
I have a very specialist biro that needs a very special ink. And then Stein, I bet you've got Stein on yours.
Oh, well, it'll come to me.
And then I've got Sweet Music, but like spelled S-U-I-T-E.
Is that a joke? typing in a punch. Is that a punchline you're hoping to find the truth?
Punchlines while I Google
search. So what was your most far out one? Squid wrestling, I'd say. Is
squid wrestling
be one of the top.
Or science animal? I'd put as my two furthest out.
I've simply got things along the lines of Stanley Picker Gallery, Southworld boat.
Well, what's that?
A picture of a boat in Southworld.
Is that the one with the flags on?
Yeah, one with all the black flags hanging on the front, which I thought looked sculptural.
Yes.
Small owl, which speaks for itself. There's a few spelling mistakes as well, but they're all School of Art, Margaret Street, Birmingham postcode.
Where are you at?
Yeah. So I think that's 2-0 to me.
Yeah, 2-0, you win.
I'm going to go for five. Okay, best of five, C.
C. Okay, I've got quite a solid one here. Oh.
Yes, if a text message goes out while you're recording, you have to read it out no matter what it says.
Did we? Okay, I can read this one out. It says, parking for YR52LUL expires at 4:47 PM.
Is LUL what the parking people put on the end of?
Yeah.
This is your number plate, LUL.
You're going to lose this one, this round of C words.
I might do.
You are?
What have you got?
Shall I pick my most
edited far? Highlights, yeah.
Chalice, I know that's work related. Colds, that was a non-work related one. Crustacean, Cumbrian, just to keep up the wrestling theme, Cumbrian wrestling.
Cumbrian wrestling.
But that was work related. What have you got?
Well,
crash helmet.
Crash helmet's work related.
That's true.
Craft mill, paper clay. This is all work.
That's just a
poem. I've also got copyright 01212332349 Birmingham. Computer programming train club.
That's a great one.
I've also got a compliment sandwich and compliment sandwich blog.
Oh, yeah.
While I was checking out if anyone had the same blog name as us.
Why, as a matter of interest, is address intentionally compliment in a spelled a different way?
What?
You know it's compliment with an E, but then you spell it with an I.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought you might have done it because someone had taken the blog name already. Sorry, I didn't know.
That's a mistake.
No, I thought you'd done it as like a funny...
That means like a compliment of sandwiches, doesn't it? Like an army of sandwiches.
That sounds brilliant to me. I'd like a compliment of sandwiches. I think neither of us had anything that way out for C.
No, computer programming train club.
Computer programming train club. If I didn't know what you were looking for yesterday, that would have won you that. Well, that would have lost you that round. So it's still 2-0.
2-1.
2-1. What have I run around?
Let's see.
Okay, give me a fighting chance. Sorry, can I pick a letter?
Yeah.
B. Belcasting. Any good ones?
No. I've got buy cardboard sheet, building, blogger, bivouac, Bedway Williams. I've got those as well.
Oh yeah, from episode one.
What have you got? Barn owl. I think that's baroque.
I've got all the owls. I've got a Bebo owl. Bebo owl. Lol.
A Bebo owl.
Hoot me lol on Bebo later.
Is that a real owl?
Apparently, I don't know. I'll check it. Double check it.
It's not a real owl. We thought the it's because we thought the owl in Clash of the Titans was called Bebo. We're trying to find a picture of it. What is it called?
It's called Bubo.
Really?
Bobo.
So you've got baroque animal, baroque skull. Does that say baroque. Beer chandelier?
Yeah. I was very desperate for pictures at one point. I thought that might come up.
Can you tell me what a Bedlington Terrier is?
It's a dog, but it's called the lamb with the lion's heart. It's a poodle. It's not a poodle.
It's a terrier.
It's a terrier bred for killing rats.
It's got a weird head, hasn't it?
Looks like a lamb, yeah, and its head is shaped like a sort of primitive axe.
And why were you looking up? Presumably pictures of a Bedlington. Was it pictures of a Bedlington Terrier?
Or general information about them.
About where to get.
Where to buy ceramics. or presence with Bedlington Terriers in an effort to impress members of the opposite sex.
I see.
I have...
Is that work-related?
Yes. It was a curator. Yeah, no, I think that's my least work-related being on there than Bedlington Terrier. Okay.
One more. It's...
I've lost, haven't I?
Yeah. 3-1. Well, as a formality, H... You've consistently got a lot more... You've logged a lot more Google searches than I have.
Yeah, you put in the things you actually want to look at and find them. I don't know what I'm looking for, and so put in lots of different words in an attempt to try and find something, such as hotel animal. I've no idea what that is.
Do you think you could stay in an animal?
I get these vain hopes that if I put in two words that are vaguely related to what I want a picture of, someone somewhere will have built an animal hotel.
Yeah.
But I didn't even put in animal hotel, I put in hotel animal.
Have you got any other highlights there?
Not really.
What?
House, hotel symbol, hotel search. Put hotel search into search engine.
Did you put, can
you search me a hotel, please? this is quite nice though. Holly Ivy and Holly Walsh. Holly Ivy is not as funny as Holly Walsh. Funny in a good way.
Yes, ha.
But did you have?
I simply had. Oh,
you've got Handel Owl. Wow. What's Handel Owl?
Handel Owl.
You've also got Hold Little Owl. I want to hold owl.
I have got hold owl.
Oh, but then you've got hold owl and then underneath hunter.
And Hampshire County
Flag. I'm gonna kill little owls.
I'm not. Maybe helm, yeah. Yeah, that's
not even helm.
That's all good stuff.
Handle owl.
Those are all good
searches.
Handle owl. Well, here you say handle owl, but the first picture is
an owl that I made out of a handle.
Oh my goodness. Jangling Jacks made this, it says.
Well.
And what's that?
It's the top end of a spade with some like copper stuck on his wings. And two copper wires for legs.
And eyes.
And eyes as well.
That's an owl. That's a sculpture.
The tape is nearly done.
How are we doing time with
this?
That's probably enough, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit. Okay.